Good afternoon, everybody. Schwab Talks are coming at you live from my house here in Cincinnati. Welcome, everybody, aboard. It's Book Club Class, and we are, with God's help, let's try to finish up Nefesh HaChayim today. I say that because next week I have a wedding, God willing, Monday night, and there's just going to be no way to give a class from 1 to 2. Not when I'm driving and getting ready for the chasana. It's really not possible. So let's do what we can today. We're on page 186. Let's enjoy the last few pages of Nefesh HaChayim. Chapter 28, Profound Secrets Hidden in the Torah Text. And so on its journey from heaven, passing from world to world, degree by degree, down to the physical world, the Torah confined itself, speaking in terms of the needs of each world, according to the degree of Kedusha that world could accept. Arriving in our physical world, it adjusted itself to speaking in terms of the values and concerns of this world, relating to matters of this mundane world, so that the world can tolerate the Kedusha of the Torah's light. However, even while speaking about worldly matters, the Torah alludes to basic principles and the most profound mystical concepts. As the Zohar says in Parshas Toldos, all the mystical secrets are locked in the Torah. This means that they are encased in the details of the myriad facets in which the Torah clothed itself on its way down to this world. For this reason, the Zohar repeatedly says that the entire Torah is, quote, both hidden and revealed. Everyone understands that while the words of the verses express the plain meaning of the Torah, the individual words and letters of the Torah hint at the hidden and esoteric meaning of the Torah. As the Zohar says, how sweet is the Torah text, for hidden in every single word, there are lofty secrets. That's Parshas Baloscha, Zohar Baloscha. Everyone will understand the inner meaning of the Torah according to his intellect and his perception, his purity of intent, and the time he devotes to Torah study. But remember, the true inner meanings of the Torah are concealed by God. No man can fathom them. Only the Father of us all, Adam Arishon, had the soul of souls and the higher vision with which he could gaze into the soul of the Holy Torah. The most lofty forms of wisdom were revealed to him. But after he transgressed, the spiritual splendor was taken from him, and the heavenly order and the forces of good and evil became mixed and intermingled. As a result, the paths of Torah wisdom he had been able to fathom with his soul of souls were closed to him. The Gemara in Shabbos 146a says that when Klal Yisrael received the Torah, their lustfulness left them, and they became as pure as Adam was before he sinned. Even so, they were able to grasp only the level of soul of the Torah, nishmas haTorah, let's say, but at the level of nishmas haNeshama shel haTorah, not the level of the soul of the soul of the Torah, which is the level of understanding reached by Adam before he sinned. But when God will pour out his spirit on all mankind, the wondrous paths of higher wisdom, the soul of the Torah will be revealed. As the Zohar says in Baloscha, the Torah has a garment, a body, and a soul. The fools of the world see only the garment. Those with more understanding do not look at the garment, but they see the body that's beneath the garment. The wise servants of the Supreme King who stood at Sinai saw only the soul, which is the essence of the Torah. In time to come, they will perceive the soul of the Torah. As it says in Isaiah 30, your teacher will no longer be hidden behind his garment, and your eyes will behold your teacher. Be'enecha ro'os es morecha. Your eyes will behold your teacher. This is the underlying idea of, quote, the light of the first day of creation, that the Holy One, blessed be He, stored away for the tzaddikim in the time to come, as referenced in Gemara Chagiga 12a. It says in Iyov chapter 28, man does not know its worth. The Midrash comments over there, Tehillim, Midrash Tehillim, the portions of the Torah were not given in their proper order. Had they been given in the proper order, anyone reading the Torah could understand the profound mysteries of the Torah, which would have enabled him to instantly create a world and revive the dead. We'll now explain that the Kedusha of Torah study is greater than the Kedusha of doing mitzvahs. This is another swipe at Hasidism, earlier, he took a swipe at those who don't keep the Zmanim, those who daven not in the right time. Now he's going to take a swipe at those who are machshav the mitzvahs more than they're machshav limud Torah. They show appreciation. They evaluate the doing of mitzvahs as higher on the pecking order than the study of the Torah. That's an absolute inconceivable idea to Reb Chaim Volozhiner. We'll now explain the kedusha of Torah study and that it is greater than the holiness of doing mitzvahs. Then there's a bumper sticker that says, just do mitzvahs. That's a nice bumper sticker. But if Reb Chaim Volozhiner would see that, he'd go, I give up. Where's the Lithuanian approach to that? Just sit and study Torah. That's what his bumper sticker would say. Chapter 29, study and practice. The Gemara in Sota 20.
I think the bumper sticker means don't do mitzvahs and not a vero.
Chapter 29, study and practice. The Gemara in Sota 21a says, quote, state in Mishlei, it says in the book of Proverbs, the mitzvah is a lamp and the Torah is light. Okay? Kiner mitzvah, the Torah or. The mitzvah is a lamp, and the Torah is light. I heard this a lot in yeshiva in Israel. So the mitzvah is a lamp. A lamp is nice, but the lamp is only a lamp in order to generate some light. And the Torah, therefore, which is the light, that's the superior thing. The verse compares the mitzvah to a lamp and the Torah to light, to tell you that just as a lamp burns only temporarily, so too the fulfillment of a mitzvah protects you only temporarily. The Torah is compared to light to tell you that just as light protects forever, so too the Torah protects forever. Gemara in Sota. Rava challenged that, saying, while, quote, while you are occupied learning Torah, it protects you from punishment and it saves you from sinning. But when you are not engaged in learning Torah, it protects you from punishment but does not save you from sinning. By contrast, a mitzvah, whether or not you are involved with it, protects you from punishment, but it does not save you from the sinning. Furthermore, it says there, a transgression cancels the merit of a mitzvah, but not the merit of Torah study. How about that? A sin cancels the merit of a mitzvah, but it does not cancel the merit of Torah study. Healing for the whole body. In the same vein, the Zohar says that the 613 mitzvahs correspond to the 613 limbs and connective tissue in the human body. And when one performs a mitzvah, the limb that correlates with that mitzvah is sanctified and vitalized. By the same token, if one has the opportunity to commit a sin and refrains from doing it, the limb with which he could have sinned is sanctified and vitalized. As it says in Vayikra 18, keep my decrees and my laws, since it is only by keeping them that a person can truly live. For then he is really alive. Thank you so much. Says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, continuing, however, when one learns Torah, not only is one limb vitalized, but the whole body is energized. As it says in Proverbs 4, for the words of the Torah are a healing for his whole body. And so too the Gemara in Erev in 54a says, if one's head aches, let him engage in Torah study. If he feels pain all over his body, let him learn Torah, for it says it is a healing for his whole body. Hence the Gemara in Shabbos 127a says, the study of Torah is equal to all the mitzvahs. Top page 190. Conversely, the sin of bittul Torah, the neglect of Torah study, the wasting of time with such things as video games and other things and films, theatrical productions, debate squads, classes in engineering, biology, algebra. Conversely, the sin of bittul Torah, the neglect of Torah study, is equivalent to all sins together. When one transgresses a mitzvah, only the corresponding limb is blemished, since the kedusha and the otherworldly light that hovers over every limb departs from the limb that which corresponds to the mitzvah that was violated. Lacking that limb, the sinner becomes disabled. But bittul Torah afflicts all the limbs and all the blood vessels of the one who neglects Torah study. It impairs his health and stamina and causes the aura of Kedusha to leave his body. He becomes like a lifeless creature. For it says in Devarim 30, The Torah is your life and the length of your days, like the fish of the sea. This is in line with the Gemara of Avodah Zarah 3b. Quote, what is the meaning of the pasuk in Habakkuk chapter 1? You have made man like the fish of the sea. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 14. Why is man compared to the fish of the sea? To tell you that just as the fish of the sea perish the moment they go on dry land, so too, man perishes as soon as he ceases to study the Torah. So Torah is compared to water, and man is compared to fish. Similarly, the Raya Mehemna says, just as the fish of the sea live in water, so too, Torah scholars, being immersed in the Torah, will die the moment they are removed from their Torah study. See the end of Parsha Shmini, the Raya Mehemna. Likewise, the Gemara Brachas 5a says, if one feels afflictions coming on, he should examine his way of life. If he searched and found that he had done no wrong, he should attribute his suffering to bittul Torah, the neglect of Torah study. At first glance, this seems surprising. Since he is guilty of the grave offense of bittul Torah, how can he say that he found nothing wrong? Where do you get that idea from? If you're doing the biggest sin possible, not studying the Torah, what makes you think you didn't do any sin? Rashi explains that he found no sin that warranted his pain. For God punishes measure for measure, and God afflicts the limb that committed the sinful act. So one should understand for which failing he's being punished. He will then mend his ways and he'll be healed. Thus the Gemara says, quote, if a person feels afflictions coming on, he should examine his way of life, and his pain will tell him which weakness he should correct. If he searched and found that he has done nothing wrong with the limb that hurts, he should attribute his pain to bittul Torah. Because the sin of bittul Torah is so grave, so bad, that it's not punished measure for measure. Since bittul Torah affects the whole body, all limbs, and all organs. Chapter 30, Superiority of Torah Study. Torah study outweighs all of the mitzvahs put together. This may be seen by the fact that even if a man observed all 613 mitzvahs with true perfection and with the proper intention, the kedusha and the supernal light inherent in the mitzvahs that comes to rest on all his limbs and organs does not compare to the awesome kedusha and the splendor of the Holy Torah radiating on the person who immerses himself in learning Torah Lishma. Its source in kedusha, in holiness, is infinitely higher than the root of all the mitzvahs combined. Limud Torah is more important and holier and gives you more bang for the buck than all the mitzvahs combined. The Mishnah in Avos, chapter 6, Mishnah 1, expresses this thought. Quote, the study of Torah for its own sake makes him great and exalts above all things, meaning above all the other mitzvahs combined. Similarly, the sages say in Yerushalmi, Heya, chapter 1, we say it every morning, all the other mitzvahs combined do not have the value of one word of the Torah. Actually, I thought it was going to give me a different site. That the Talmud Torah can get kulam. The Torah study is equal to all of them. That's what he's saying. But imagine that. Listen to this one in Peah. All the other mitzvahs combined do not have the value of one word of the Torah. You learn one pasuk, you're already well ahead of yourself. You learn a whole perek of psukim. You learn a Rashi. You learn a Ramban, a Rashbam, and Ibn Ezra. You're really cooking with gas. You learn up a Gemara explicating a pasuk. It's incredible. And just learning these words over here, it quotes you a Zohar, quotes you a pasuk, quotes you a Gemara. It's incredible what we're learning right here. Says Chaim Volozhiner, consider this. The very kedusha, the very holiness and the light of the mitzvah that rests on the object with which the mitzvah is performed lasts only for the duration of the mitzvah. Sukkot lasts for Sukkot. Chanukah for Chanukah. Eat matzah on Pesach, right? Eat matzah on Pesach. Okay, you drink the wine, eat the matzah, the maror. It's all important. You got to do it. Hashem says, so you do it. But how long is that lasting? Pesach doesn't last the whole year long. Shabbos doesn't last the whole year long. These are important points of time. You hop around the mitzvah and you do it. It's finite. As soon as the mitzvah is performed, the holiness and the light depart without a trace. By contrast, any place where the Torah's light has shone remains sanctified forever. As the Gemara Megillah 26b says, quote, objects used for the performance of a mitzvah may be discarded, since no sanctity attaches to the object after its use. But objects that are accessories to sacred items must be hidden away and may not be put to any other use, such as a case for tefillin and mezuzah, because at one time they contained parchment on which Torah passages are written. So because they were housing Torah tefillin, they're way more holy than other objects are that you did for a mitzvah. Oh, you held a candle for Shabbos. Can you toss that out? I think you can. Okay, you have a box that held an esrog. Okay, it's holding an esrog. I get it. Important. I love an esrog. Can you toss away the box? Ultimately, the answer is yeah, you can toss away the box. But you must not do that for tefillin and mezuzah, because they contain parchment. Thank you so much. On which the Torah passages are written. So I'm holding an order by a judge that I cannot begin to believe she actually wrote. I cannot believe what I'm reading over here. Anyway, the Pasuk in Mishlei, chapter 6, Proverbs 6. For a mitzvah is a lamp and the Torah is light. Aside from the exposition given in the Gemara in Sota 21a, that Pasuk, a mitzvah is a lamp and Torah is light, also alludes to the superiority of Torah study over the performance of mitzvahs. In addition, the very kedusha, the very holiness, and the light of the mitzvos are derived from the kedusha, from the holiness and the light of the Torah alone. A mitzvah itself has no life. Kedusha has no life, has no holiness or light at all, except for the holiness it receives from the letters in the Torah passage that describes that mitzvah. This idea is also alluded to in the Pasuk. For a mitzvah is a lamp, and the Torah is light. A lamp itself does not give off any light. It only supports the flame. Torah study without doing mitzvahs is worthless. Of course, Torah study without the performance of mitzvahs is worthless, says Reb Chaim Blazer. As the Gemara Yevamos 109b says, quote, whoever says that he's interested only in the study of Torah and not in the performance of mitzvahs has no reward, even for the study of Torah. You can't take that approach. I'm just going to sit and learn all day long, and I'm not going to do the mitzvahs. I'm going to just sit and learn. I'll learn about the mitzvahs. It's got to be at least as good, maybe even better, because it's really lishma. Because I'm going to sit and learn about them. I'm never going to actually wind up doing them, because who needs to do them if I can study them theoretically? Isn't that better? The University of Chicago students have a T-shirt that says, that's okay in practice, but how does it work in theory? Usually that's okay in theory, but how does it work out in practice? In other words, what's the practical implication of something? How does it play out in the real world? That's the usual T-shirt. But at Chicago, is the opposite. That's all right in practice. I mean, it actually comes out the way you said. But how does it work in theory? And it's up top page 193. And the Gemara in Bracha 17a says, Rava was known to say the following. The goal of Torah wisdom is that it should lead to repentance and good deeds. So that a man should not study Torah and Mishnah and become proud of his knowledge and then wind up despising his father and his mother and his teacher, as it says in Tehillim 111, Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. All who do his commandments gain sound understanding. Psalm 111. It doesn't say all who study his commandments. It says all who do his commandments. So, of course, the study has to lead to doing the mitzvahs. That's true. Don't ever forget that the Torah is going to be superior to even the doing of all those mitzvahs. And the Midrash says in Shmos Rabbah 40, if one learns Torah but does not perform the mitzvahs, it would be better had he not been born. And the Zohar says in Parsha Shmos, anyone who learns Torah in this world and does good deeds inherits a world of perfection. But he who learns Torah in this world and does not perform good deeds will inherit neither this world nor Olam Haba. You don't get anything. If you don't do the mitzvahs, you're going to get nada. And the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, 17b, says, whoever engages only in Torah study, and only in Torah study, but neglects the mitzvahs, is as though he has no God. Imagine somebody saying, I'm not going to daven now. I got to sit and learn. Got to daven. The halacha is that we daven three times a day. We men have to daven three times a day. That's the accepted psak. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. What do you mean you're not going to do that? What do you mean? What are you not going to, I'm not going to shake the lulav and esrog. I'm not sitting in the sukkah. I'm not eating matzah. I'm not lighting candles on Hanukkah. I'm not listening to Megillah. I'm not doing any of the mitzvahs. I'm going to just sit and learn all day. What are you going to get from that? Hashem is not happy with that. You're in this world to do the mitzvahs. And the Gemara of Avodah Zarah says, whoever engages only in Torah study, but neglects the mitzvahs, is as though he has no God. End quote. If he does not fulfill the mitzvahs, says Chaim Volozhiner, the light of the Torah has no way to attach itself to him and no way to stay with him. It's like a flame without a wick. Rabbi Goldberg of Tells Cleveland says, the light of Torah can exist only through the fulfillment of the mitzvahs. Therefore, the observance of mitzvahs is the underpinning of the Torah. However, says Chaim Volozhiner, as we mentioned above, the mitzvahs themselves receive their light from the letters of the portion of the Torah that describes the mitzvah that's being done. The Torah confers everlasting light. The Mishnah in Avos, chapter 6, Mishnah 7, sums it up. The Torah is great, for it confers life upon those who observe it. Now, it does not say upon those who study it, or upon those who immerse themselves in it, but rather upon those who observe it. This means that the Torah grants everlasting life and kedusha and holiness to those who study it and to those who observe the mitzvahs that are recorded in it. In light of this, the Midrash says in Tanchuma, Parshas Bechukosat, he may be a tzaddik, but if he does not study Torah, he has no reward even for his good deeds. So you can't just do that. For years and years, I thought, all the mitzvahs that I do, then that'll be my ticket into heaven. So Chaim Volozhiner, no, that's not at all how it works up in heaven. Amazingly, you may have been taught that, but it's not true. The Midrash itself says in Tanchuma, a person can be a tzaddik, but if he does not study the Torah, he has no reward even for his good deeds. Imagine getting blood your whole life. You get up to Shemayim, you're thinking you're going to get a pearly gates welcome from St. Peter. Does a Jew believe that? No. But he'd like to get into heaven anyway. Whoever's guarding the gates, whatever the guy's name is. Maybe it's Hashem guarding the gates. See, Hashem, I gave a lot of blood. He'll say, Mazel Tov to you, Reb Shmulik. And I'll say, does that get me into the vaunted Olam Haba that I was waiting for my whole life? And Hashem will say, no. Wah, wah, wah. Thanks for giving go the blood. The people really appreciated that. But did you learn Torah? No, I didn't really learn any Torah. Well, then, very sorry. Thanks for playing, through the consequences, or let's make a deal. You're not going to get in. It's a very sobering thought. Want to get into Olam Haba? Got to learn Torah. Why? It's Hashem's mind. You're getting to know the Almighty. What's on Hashem's mind? The Mets? Like they're on my mind? The Jets? The Rangers? Tonight's Stanley Cup final, which I'd like to watch. The upcoming debate. Are those things really on God's mind? Or are they only on God's mind because they're on my mind and he's going to hold me guilty of that? And it's the latter. They're not on God's mind. Couldn't kill us who wins the Stanley Cup. Only I care. Who wins the debate? Only I care. How many God cares? He already has the whole thing planned out anyway. Who cares who wins the debate? I care. Well, that's ridiculous. It's not on God's mind. You want to know what God is talking about, thinking about up in heaven? You learn some Torah. You get an inkling as to what it is. Holiness, good deeds, getting to know God. That's what it's all about. The reason for this, that you can do all these good deeds but still not get admitted into Olam Haba, is that at their heavenly root, the mitzvahs are linked to the exalted transcendental realm of the Torah. Since the Torah pervades the inner core of all the mitzvahs, they receive their vitality and holiness from the Torah. Thus, it's the Torah that infuses life, holiness, and light into the mitzvah. Chapter 31, Torah study is like offering a sacrifice. Because the Torah is rooted in the uppermost spiritual world, the study of Torah lishma, for its own sake, has the potential to atone for all sins. Do you hear that, boys? The person's done a sin, start studying the Holy Torah, and you're on your way to tshuva, because it sobers you up, and it makes you, penitential. It makes you want to do tshuva. How could you possibly anger the Almighty? Why would you ever want to do that? When you start studying the Torah, you start feeling godly, and you regret what you did. And so the Gemara Menachos 110 says, 110a. What is implied by the pasuk in Vayikra, chapter 7? This is the Torah law of the burnt offering, the meal offering, and the peace offering. What's meant by that? Asks the Talmud. It teaches us that if a man is engaged in Torah study, it's as though he were offering a burnt offering, a meal offering, a sin offering, and a guilt offering. Wow. Because it says this is the Torah law of the burnt offering, etc. So when you study the Torah law, it's like you offer those offerings up. Likewise, the Midrash says in Tanchuma, Parshas Tav, and Midrash Rabbah 38. Pasuk says in Hosea chapter 14, Kechu imachem devarim, take words with you. Kechu imachem devarim, vishuvu, vishuvu el Hashem. Take words with you and return to Hashem. Hosea 14. So Israel says, we're poor, so we have no money to bring sacrifices. Answers God, all I want is words, and I'll forgive you for all your sins. And surely words implies words of Torah. Can you imagine the opposite? Imagine a person says, oh, forgive me, God, forgive me. Oh, I feel terrible. Oh, this is bad sins. Oh, and so many. Oh, forgive me, I feel bad. God's going, there's not a shred worth of sincerity in that. Not a shred. But if the person sat down and started studying Mishnah and Talmud and Tanakh and Musar, suddenly those words actually will mean something. They'll actually mean something when he says, I'm sorry. Torah learning brings forgiveness. In reference to the Holy Ark, the Midrash says in Tanchuma, Parshas Vayakel, that the Ark grants forgiveness for the sins of Israel because the Torah scroll that rests in it pardons Israel's sins. In the same vein, the Tanakh of Eliyahu says, a man committed numerous sins for which heaven decreed death. If he repents and learns Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, Mishnah, Midrash, Halacha, and Agadah, and he ministers to oral to Torah scholars, then even if 100 decrees were pronounced against him, the Holy One, blessed be he, will revoke all of them. Because he's showing you're getting on God's side. Once you start learning Torah, you're now suddenly switching over to God's side. You're no longer on your own side. Now you're joining the godly team. How about that? And the Zohar says, surely people should hold Torah study in high regard. For whoever learns Torah is considered as though he had offered to Hashem all the sacrifices in the world. What's more, the Holy One, blessed be he, forgives all his sins, and he's assured of a place in the world to come. Moreover, Torah study affords forgiveness even for those grave sins that cannot be atoned for by sacrifices. As the Gemara Rosh Hashanah 18a says, speaking about the sins of the sons of the prophet Eli, Hashem himself says, quote, therefore I have sworn concerning the house of Eli, that the sin of the house of Eli will never be atoned for by sacrifice or meal offering. You find that in 1 Shmuel chapter 3. And commenting on that pasuk, Rabbah says in Gemara Rosh Hashanah, with sacrifice and meal offering, the sin cannot be atoned for, but it can be atoned for through the study of the Torah. How about that? Hashem is alluding to the fact that you can atone for it by some other method. You can't atone for it by sacrifice or meal offering, but you can by learning the Torah. How beautiful is that? How wonderful is that opportunity to be able to learn the Torah and have all these wonderful benefits? Likewise, the Gemara in Megillah 3b says, Torah study is more important than offering the daily sacrifices. And the Zohar says in Parshas Tav, one who learns Torah needs no sacrifices and burnt offerings, for Torah study is better than everything. That's why it says in Mishlei, in Proverbs, Dirachecha Darchei Noah, its ways are ways of pleasantness. There's no reason to bring a sacrifice because you already are doing pleasant things by studying the Torah. I didn't say Pleasant Ridge. I said pleasant things. You get it? And the Midrash says, in Parshas Ha'Ne'elam, the sacrifices have ceased, but the Torah has not ceased. Therefore, since sacrifices can no longer be offered, one should devote himself to Torah study. It'll be even more beneficial than sacrifices. Rabbi Krispadai adds, if one discusses the laws of the sacrifices in the base Midrash, he can be rest assured that the accusing angels who mention one's sins cannot do him any harm. They can only point out his good deeds. And you better have them too. Good deeds. Torah learning is like a mikvah. Are you with me, Mendel? The Gemara in Bracha 16a says, why are tents mentioned in conjunction with streams in the Pasuk in Bamidbar? Matovu Olecha Yaakov. How goodly are your tents, O Jacob. They stretch out like streams. See Numbers 24, verses 5 and 6. This comes to tell you that just as streams elevate a man from ritual impurity, from tumah, ritual impurity, to tahara, to ritual purity, so do the tents of Torah, meaning the halls of Torah study, elevate a man to the scale of guilt, to the scale of merit. How about that? It seems to be, it's miraculous. The learning of Torah is a miraculous thing. The tents of Torah elevate a man from guilt to merit. Commenting on the pasuk in Echa, in Lamentations chapter 2, pour out your heart like water in the presence of God. So the Tana Devei Eliyahu 18 says, just as water is a mikvah for the ritual purification of Israel and for all the creatures of the world, so are the words of Torah a mikvah that purifies Israel wherever they reside. Look and see how powerful the Torah is, for it cleanses the transgressors in Israel, even from as grave a sin as idol worship if they do tshuva. For it says in Ezekiel 36, that I will sprinkle pure water on you, that you may become cleansed. Perfect repentance is done out of love, and perfect tshuva can be achieved only through learning Torah lishma, for its own sake. As it says in Avos, whoever engages in chapter 6, Mishnah 1, whoever engages in Torah study lishma for its own sake shows that he loves the Almighty God. What are you doing it for? To make money? No. To go work your way up the corporate ladder and get respect? No. So what's the reason? Because God said so. God said so, that's why you're doing it? Absolutely, that's exactly why I'm doing it. And so we say in the Shemoneh Esrei, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha. It's part of it. Bring us back, our Father, to your Torah and cause us to return. And cause us to return in perfect tshuva before you. The Kavena Malkeinu Lavarasecha. Hashiveinu Hashem Elokeinu. Hashiveinu Hashem. Wow, what are the words over there in that pasuk? In that, you know what? In the English, bring us back, our Father, to your Torah. Hashiveinu Hashem the Torah Secha. Hashiveinu the tshuva shleima lefanecha. Bring us back, our Father, to your Torah and cause us to return in perfect tshuva before you. And the Zohar says in Parshas Vayikra, when a man separates himself from the Torah, he becomes distant from the Almighty. But when he becomes close to the Torah, the Holy One, blessed be He, draws him near. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. No question. I've seen it in my own life. The Torah makes the sinner turn back. Middle of page 197. It says in Mishlei, in Proverbs, love covers up for all offenses. Now, the Tana Devei Eliyahu, a Midrashic compilation, expounds as follows. Love of Torah covers up all offenses. Because it said love covers up. No, it's love of Torah that covers up. And the Midrash explains, in Psichta Eicha, it is the light of the Torah that causes the sinner to mend his ways. The Gemara in Sukkah 52b says, if that contemptible scoundrel, the Yetzer comes up against you, drag him into the base Midrash. That is to say, subdue him by learning Torah. If he is made of stone, he will crumble. And the Zohar says, Pashas Vayeshev, if a man feels improper thoughts entering his mind, he should immerse himself in Torah study, and these thoughts will pass. Rabbi Eliezer said, if the Yetzer Hara comes to seduce you, haul him into the base Midrash, and he will let go of you. How about that? Any thoughts out there? Any thoughts over here in the class, over here locally, on the phone, or in person? Continuing, like a fountain. And this is how we can explain the maxim that, quote, he who has learned Torah Lishma is like a fountain that constantly gains strength. That's, see Avos, see Ethics of the Fathers, chapter 6, Mishnah 1. For a surging fountain that became clogged, gravel and mud, will continue to spout and gradually retain and regain its strength. Eventually, it cascades down with full force as before. Similarly, a man may at first be soiled with sins and transgressions and mired in a morass of evil. But once he engages in Torah study lishma, his mind will be set straight because the light of Torah will surely transform him. The good in him will subdue his evil impulse to the point. The good in him will subdue his evil impulse to the point that the good impulse will take total command, completely cleansing him of his impurity. And so the Mishnah says, his Torah learning makes him fit to be righteous and devout. The Hebrew word for makes him fit is machshar to. This literally means makes him kosher. Jews are purged by hearing them in at first. I'm sorry, Jews are purged by heating them in fire. Jews are cleansed. They are, let me read this again. I left this out. And so the Mishnah says, a person's Torah study makes him fit to be righteous and devout. The Hebrew word for makes him fit is machshar to, which literally means makes him kosher. Torah learning kashers him as utensils acquired from non-Jews are purged, cleansed by heating them in fire. And so it goes, look, my word is like fire. It's Jeremiah 23. Chapter 32, Torah learning brings joy to all the world. All this is, as we said earlier, that the Torah originates in the very highest spheres of the divine realm. By learning Torah Lishma, one arouses the Torah's heavenly source, causing an abundant flow of spiritual light and holiness to descend on all the worlds. The Torah's fiery flame drives out and incinerates all the impurity and filth he injected into the higher worlds with his wrongful deeds, so that they radiate once again with celestial kedusha and are joined to one another. We know all defects are mended, all damages repaired, and all ruins rebuilt. And joy, exaltation, and spiritual light abound in all the worlds. We know that a blemished soul can be rectified only in its heavenly root. And the heavenly root of each Jew's soul is anchored in one of the letters of the Torah. Therefore, all flaws in the soul caused by sin can be restored through studying Torah Lishma. As it says, God's Torah is perfect, restoring the soul. Even if a man's, Psalm 19, verse 8. Even if a man's soul has been cut off from its root and has sunk appallingly to the very depths of evil, even if a man's soul has been cut off from its root and has sunk appallingly to the very depths of evil, the Torah he learns will raise it, free it from its shackles, and restore its previous bond with holiness and with more Torah light than before. As the Gemara in Tainus 17a says, Rabbi Bana used to say, whoever studies Torah Lishma, his Torah study becomes an elixir of life for him. For it says, for a tree of life. As the Gemara in Tainus 7a says, Rabbi Bana used to say, whoever studies Torah Lishma, his Torah study becomes an elixir of life for him. As it says, it's a tree of life for those who grasp it. Pasuk in Mishlei, chapter 3, Proverbs 3. And it also says in Mishlei, Proverbs chapter 8, one who finds me, meaning the Torah speaking, one who finds me, finds life. And it says in the Mechilta, on Shemos 15, what's implied by the pasuk when it says, I am Hashem who heals you, Ani Hashem Rofecha, I am Hashem who heals you, what does that mean? The Holy One, blessed be He, said to Moshe, tell the Jewish people, the Torah I gave you means healing for you. It means life for you. As it says, also in Proverbs 4, for the words of the Torah are life to he who finds them, and healing for all his flesh. He can just go on and on and on about the importance of Torah study. Chaim Volozhiner, the premier student of the Vilna Gaon, who founded the famous Volozhiner Yeshiva. Can you imagine the life he led and the Olam Haba he's getting? Anybody picture that? Amazing. We continue. With that in mind, the early authorities arranged the psukim, the verses of the Vidui prayer, which is the confession of sins reciting Yom Kippur, according to the order of the 22 letters of the Aleph-Bays. The heavenly root of the soul that is tied up with and dependent on the Torah will be aroused to cleanse and sanctify the soul of the one reciting the Vidui. Page 200. Immune to the blandishments of the Yetzer Hara. When a man clings to the Torah and learns with ever-increasing fervor, the Torah, in turn, will light his way, protect him wherever he goes, and help him in all his undertakings, so that he will not fall into the trap of the Yetzer Hara. As the Midrash says, Midrash Tehillim 119, In my heart have I stored your word, so that I would not sin against you. And on that pasuk, we're informed. In my heart have I stored your word, so that I would not sin against you. The Yetzirah has no power over the Torah. If one has the Torah in his heart, the Yetzirah cannot touch him. Right? So I would not sin against you. You have no desire to sin against God. If you're studying his Torah and becoming learned in it, the more and more learned you get in it, the more godly you get, the less likely you are to sin, the less likely you want to do a sin. I'm saying if people are perfect, it's saying that there's a less of a likelihood of it. In Abba Sabri Nassim, it says, Rishim Bar Yochai says, if one takes to heart the words of the Torah, he'll be spared 10 great difficulties. Number one, spared from sinful thoughts, preoccupation about war, worry about oppression, frivolous thoughts, thoughts prompted by the Yetzirah, thoughts of adultery, distress because of a troublesome wife, thoughts of idolatry, concern about worldly responsibilities, and idle thoughts. And that is in, that's the Rambam Hilchos Ishus, saying thoughts of forbidden relations gain a foothold in a mind that's empty of wisdom. Okay? The Torah will clothe him in humility and fear of God and virtuous qualities. He's not afraid of the Yetzirah tempting him with worldly pleasures and delights, for he is in firm control of his evil impulse. All his actions are guided by the light of the Torah, so that he uses worldly pleasures in moderation and only for proper ends. Continuing on page 201, a perfect remedy. In this vein, the Gemara in Kiddushin 30b says, the word v'samtem, in the pasuk, v'samtem is the v'ray eila alavav v'mal nafshachem. Place these words of mind, the Torah that is, on your heart and your soul. As Deuteronomy 11, may be read as samtam, samtam, a perfect remedy. Wow. The Torah is likened to a life-giving elixir. This may be compared to a man who struck his son a hard blow and then put a bandage on his wound, saying, son, as long as this bandage is on your wounds, you can eat and drink anything you want without fear. If you remove it, your wound will break out into sores. Your wound, rather. If you remove it, your wounds will break out into sores. Similarly, the Almighty, the Holy One, blessed be, he says to Klal Yisrael, my children, I created the Yetzirah, but I also created the Torah as its antidote. If you occupy yourselves with the Torah, then you won't be delivered into the Yetzirah's hands. For it says, if you do good, if you engage in Torah study, won't you be exalted above the Yetzirah? Okay? If you occupy yourselves with the Torah, you will not be delivered into the Yetzirah's hands. Again, because it says in Genesis 4, if you do good, will you not be exalted? Meaning if you do good, meaning you engage in Torah study, won't you be exalted above the Yetzirah? Because I'm talking to Cain, I believe, in chapter 4 of Genesis, early on. But if you don't occupy yourselves with Torah, then you'll be delivered into its hand, as that verse continues, sin is crouching at the door. Wow. The Torah guides the Torah scholar. The Midrash says, fortune is the man who acquired Torah learning. The Mishlei Rabba. Why? Why is the man who acquired Torah's learning fortunate? Because it guards him from taking the wrong path. As it says, as you go forth, the Torah will guide you. Proverbs 6. For the Torah directs his heart to be faithful to God, to serve him with both his impulses, the Yetzirah and the Yetzirah. Further, the Gemara in Chagiga 3b says, it states, the words of the wise are like goads. The words of the wise, meaning Torah, the words of the wise Torah are like goads. And it says so in Ecclesiastes 12. Why are the words of the Torah compared to a goad? A goad is that which you goad a person on. You're dealing with an animal and you make him continue to do what you want him to do. Why are the words of the Torah compared to a goad, G-O-A-D, to teach you that just as a goad directs the cow that pulls the plow along its furrow in order to produce life-giving grain, for the world, so do the words of the Torah direct their students away from the ways of death towards the way of life. Ooh, there's a lot more here than I thought. And it's 2 o'clock. Furthermore, the Midrash says that engaging in Torah study is the only method in the world to avoid the snare of the Yetzirah, which tries to destroy man to bring him to eternal death. By engaging in Torah study, man becomes alive. For through Torah study, he attaches himself to a share in the true eternal life, as it says, for the Torah is your life. Pasuk in Mishlei, chapter 4. Okay, I'm thinking maybe we can meet next week, but for a small class. We're on page 202, and the book ends on page 208. So it's another 6 or 7 pages or so. We can have a small little class. Does that sound good to everybody? Why should we lose out next week? It's because I have a little wedding to attend to. I'm thinking maybe I'll hop around. It'll be a short class. We'll just hop around and finish up the book with 6 pages. So I got to get into other things right now. So I want to thank everybody for showing up today. Big Yishakayach. We did some nice work. And with God's help, we'll continue our work. Continue on next week. We'll hop around at the wedding. And we'll do this 6 pages. And we'll maybe even from the wedding hall. Take care. Be well, everybody. Have a great day. All the best. See you next week. Bye-bye.